This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, this is Steve Sciarippa, better known as Bobby Bacala, and the Michael K. Show starts now, right here on 98.7 ESPN. Hey, Michael, Don, Peter, do me a favor. Don't screw this thing up, would you?
That's the intent, not to screw it up. Hi, everybody. It is January 4th, 2023, and we got a lot to do. A lot to do. Michael K., Don LaGreca, Peter Rosenberg, we're all with you until 7 o'clock. We hope that you could stay the entire four, but we'll take what we can get. We thank you for joining us right now.
Thank you.
You know what I found out today? That DiPietro and Rothenberg actually used the studio for the morning show from 6 to 10, and that they kicked over one of the signs. They want signs in here, too. The only problem is their show's not on TV.
Yeah, relax,
Ray
guys.
Rowe.
And by the way, I heard they went after me today.
They went after you.
Or they attacked me. Yep.
What do they need to sign for? To know where to go?
Yeah, I don't know. It's just ego. They're already becoming egomaniacs.
Yeah.
They did one four-hour show.
Morning show egomaniacs.
Wow. What did they have to say about my guy, Peter?
They attacked me for, quote, not know. Was it? They said I didn't know when the college football playoffs were.
They were shocked that you didn't know the college football semifinals were happening. When in reality,
No, no, no. I knew in theory they were happening.
Right.
But when Saturday came and I was having dinner, I wasn't thinking about it.
Wow. And if they listen to the show, if they consume the show,
right,
they would not be surprised
at all
that Peter had no idea. Because he hates college football. Has no respect for it.
None.
Well, but wait a minute.
I'm offended by it.
I hate college football. I don't like it. I don't like the NCAA. But I was glued.
Right.
On the cruise that I was on, watching those games.
Oh, if I was sitting on a cruise, I would have definitely been watching.
Well, there are other things to do on a cruise.
What were you going to do on the cruise?
Eat.
And watch the game.
And eat and swim.
I don't
and
like
eat.
A crustacean.
Well, and by the way, all serious thing, don't do the iced coffee. You're shaking it. RJ is having a baby.
He is?
Yeah, little baby boy.
See?
So congratulations to RJ. He's a real live boy now.
Wow.
Yeah. You remember the wedding. You didn't give him a gift right away?
No,
right.
I gave him a gift.
And by the way, there's such power to this microphone. Yesterday, I ripped Andrew Gunling for not thanking me.
Mm-hmm.
I went to my mailbox today, and he personally put a thank you note in the mailbox.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So now how do you feel?
He drove to your house?
He went to my house because it had a stamp on it and my address, but it wasn't. It did not go through the post office, so he dropped it off.
No.
Yeah.
God hates me.
Yeah, I mean, that's a nice effort. I don't hate you anymore.
But when you're guilted into something, does it really have value?
You know, that's a great point, Don. It doesn't. But at least I made him do something, you know?
Right. No, listen, you appreciate the effort, but look what it took. It took, you know, shaming him into do that.
That's what we do here. We shame people.
So I wouldn't give him credit for it. He's back even. He's playing par.
No, I don't even know if he's par. He's a little under par.
Okay.
I'd say he's like 77 right now after 18.
So you're saying that he bogeyed the hole.
Yeah, he bogeyed.
Okay.
But he didn't like triple bogey.
Right, right. But not responding, he was going to take a mulligan. He was going to walk off the course.
No, that's not who he is.
And also one quick thing, too, about again, you should be listening to the morning show. It's delightful, and it's better better than any sports morning show. Notice how I say sports morning show because I don't want to
I really appreciate
undercut.
That.
Peter, it's better than any sports morning show in the city.
Cookies.
So
that's for
the
sure.
People at the Islanders sent Rothenberg a jersey. It's right mm-hmm. over there.
Yeah.
Says Rothenberg, he refuses to wear it. Okay.
Okay.
Well, are the Islanders clowns? You send me stuff, I'll wear it.
That's right.
You send me a K jersey, whoa, I'll wear it. You send it to Dave Rothenberg, who's an avowed Ranger fan, he's going to set it on fire.
Yeah, that's a mistake, Don. You should talk to the people at the Islanders. That's a big mistake. They wasted a full jersey. Is this an authentic?
Yeah, and also the Devils gave me the jersey that says jersey. I wore it, and they won what, 14 in a row,
oh,
Don?
Wow. Yeah. That was nice. They gave Marco a jersey. They presented it to me at the arena.
There you go.
Oh, wow.
Nice, right?
But
and
I just
the name on the back is Almost Rosenberg.
Oh, I'm wearing it right now, Don?
It's the Fisherman Islander shirt.
Well, let me ask you. So it's the reverse retro jersey that they wear.
Yeah.
Now, does it have a fighting strap?
It does, Don.
Oh, man. You know what? I got to tell you something. I'm all for fandom stuff.
Right.
Well, I look beautiful
you
in that
really
on
do
TV.
You look good. Yeah.
This is mine now, Dave.
You got to understand something. I know that he's a Ranger fan and all that. You don't want to wear the Islander jersey. I get not wearing the jersey. But if they're going to give you an authentic jersey, you take it home. you know, you hang it up or you re-gift it to an Islander fan. Just don't leave it there like I'm above getting it. Like, that's insulting the Islanders.
It's like garbage.
Really, don't also, treat people like that.
You know, John Ledecky, step up. Tell somebody in your organization, you send Kay a jersey. He'll put it on. What are you sending it to Rothenberg for?
Please don't confuse
us. You send me stuff. I'll wear it.
Now, listen, Islanders, do the right thing. Invite this whole show out. Well, I'll go out to UBS, spend a night with you. Have a time. I love that place.
Right.
Dave Rothenberg. And also, you know what, Dave? Do me a favor. Relax.
Take a walk.
Relax, pal. If it's, I get it. Someone sends you a Cowboys jersey, you're not going to wear it. I know he's a big Rangers fan, but he's such a fan that he couldn't even put on an Islander shirt.
Well, no, I get it. Listen, I got to defend my guy.
You get one team. You get one team to be insane about, and he has
his.
It's the Giants.
He's a Ranger. That's a good point. Can you be insane about every single team equally? I mean, clearly he's a Giant fan, but he's a passionate Ranger fan. And a Ranger fan can't wear an Islander jersey. But when you're
then show me something. Break up with Ricky Pietro. You work with
something.
An Islander every day.
Right.
Break up with him.
You know what?
Kick him out.
I've just been told.
Demand Lundqvist.
I've just been told by the Pinhead Suits we're having too much fun at the beginning. We're not talking sports, so move along. So I just
okay.
I'm at the point in my career now. I just listen.
Right.
I don't care.
Okay.
They know better to do a show. I've only done it 21 years.
Yeah.
But
you're
you know what? Let's change.
Dave just wrote me, by the way, and just wrote, "Enjoy it."
Good. He will.
Oh, Dave, you are an animal.
All right, so yesterday we had amazing 21 years. I'm being told what to do. I've lost my train of thought because I'm so
pissed listen,
off.
I'm with you. I felt that. You got kicked in the groin, and I felt it.
Right. But again, 21 years, what do I know?
Let's get back to it.
I got the job on scholarship. I've kept it on scholarship.
It's true.
I
you're fortunate to have it. Let's be honest, Mike.
No. Maybe it's time to go. Anyway,
it's the first time you've said it in a long time where, you know what, I'm with you.
So Robert Sala,
okay.
We spoke to yesterday, and it was one of the better Robert Sala spots, I think, of the year.
Which is saying something, because he's
pretty good. And what we were kind of locked in, we wanted to do Harry from Englewood, a eulogy at the beginning of ENN. So we never really had an opportunity
to dissect
what he said. And the one thing that struck me, and I want to play it again for all of you, about why wouldn't Zach start? Don't you need more intel about whether or not he's the quarterback of the future? And here's what Robert said.
No, like I said, for Zach, it's not about his playing ability. You know, Zach is a very talented young man, and we have a lot of faith in him, but it's sometimes playing can be counterproductive. And for Zach, we have all the faith in the world in him. He has tremendous arm talent, and like I said, he needs to hit the reset button. And it's one of those situations with Mike White. If Mike's ready to go, he's going to play.
So then I followed up and said, well, I mean, doesn't that tell you that Zach is a little bit too fragile? And this is what Robert said.
It's not about being fragile. Kid's as tough as nails. He is. This is not about being fragile. And so whatever narrative that is, it's not even close to that. There's, you know, I'm not going to get into full detail, but for Zach, like, these young men take time. I mean, we've got guys all over our roster that were cut by other teams that ended up playing well, or they've been here. You got a guy across town who is in his fourth year and it's clicking for him. So it takes time. And sometimes you can do more damage than good. And as a coaching staff, and we're trying to do good by him to make sure that we do everything we can to get him back, and which we will. But there's examples all over the league where you hit the eject button on these young men way too soon, and you panic sell, panic play, panic cut, panic whatever, panic pay, and you don't sit back and just watch the tape, evaluate, make a good, sound decision, and do what's best for the organization. And for Zach, his story is not even close to being told yet. Just like 95% of the players in this league, it takes time. And we're committed to giving that young man time to see if we can get him and point in the direction that we're hoping he can go.
I held back yesterday. I'm not kidding. I was debating. Because I'm not a shock jock in my old age.
No.
I'm not an ishter. I almost said, Coach, you know, I really like you and respect you. You just said nothing but gobbledygook.
Well,
I don't even understand what you're talking
about. I wasn't going to go there, but you know, we were so close to it. And I was trying to get in, and I couldn't get in. I wanted him to elaborate more because I'm not buying it. I'm not buying it because if you didn't know the answer to the question already, but that he said that Mike White is playing, when you hear that explanation, it's every reason why Zach Wilson should be playing. He almost was defending Wilson playing, not White. You know, that you believe in him, the room believes in him, we're not going to hit the eject button, we're sticking with this guy, we believe in this guy. You've got a meaningless game in the standings against a Miami team that's not very good defensively. You've got one last chance to see what you have in this guy, to get something on film, another thing that he said, whether it's good or bad, to forward the narrative of what you're going to do with him during the offseason. It's actually a gift, an opportunity against an NFL team that needs the game to go out there and see what you have in him. The only thing that could be damaged, Michael, is his confidence, and he bent himself into a pretzel to explain to you that it's not a confidence issue. He's tough as nails. So why in God's name is he not playing on Sunday?
It's a joke that he's not playing. And if you and I am not of the chorus of people who sit here and say that he has to be gone next year. I'm not of that opinion.
Okay.
I think he can be the quarterback of the Jets moving forward. But if you're telling me that he's so broken that he can't play this Sunday, then he's a lightweight. And that he is soft. And that he is not tough as nails. Because there's no reason, with the Jets out of it, that you don't want 60 more minutes of intel on your quarterback. I'm sorry. I also believe, truly, that there's something internecine going on in the Jet organization where there's a push and pull that a certain faction wants Wilson, a certain faction wants White, and they're both pulling and to see who has more power. I don't know if it's the front office. I don't know if it goes higher to Woody and Christopher, but I don't think that this is an organization that's in lockstep what to do with this quarterback moving forward. Another thing that I thought about this yesterday. We didn't have a chance to get to it. It was such a busy show. Think about the front offices and coaches in football history that have swung and missed, I mean really whiffed, on the second pick in the draft on a quarterback that get another chance. You'd be hard-pressed to find any front office or coach that missed this badly on a quarterback, a organization-changing chance, and you pick this guy, and this guy is so fragile in the final game of his second season in the NFL, you can't start him in a Jets. It's not meaningless for the Dolphins, but a meaningless game for the Jets. You can't do that. And there's a couple of players, and I like Robert Saleh, and I think that he dropped the ball a couple of times during this whole Wilson and Zach White situation. One of them was when he let the team publicly be photographed getting on a plane with Mike Effin White t-shirts. Before they even go outside, you're going to take those t-shirts off. There's another quarterback that's here, too. By you supporting Mike White, you're also denigrating Zach Wilson. If this guy is destroyed mentally, all of that stuff played to it. The way those guys jumped all over White, that he's the next best thing, then slice bread. It's ridiculous. That was a drop pass there by Saleh. He has not managed the quarterback situation well at all.
But Michael, he painstakingly told you that it is not a confidence issue.
Well, but then what is
he's
it?
He's not broken.
Then why isn't he playing?
I don't know, because I don't think Saleh wants him to play, because I think they moved on. I think mentally they moved on from him. And the only reason he played a few weeks ago is because of what happened to White getting hurt.
Well, here's what he said today, Don, all right? I'll let you finish, but here's what he said today in the organization's belief in Zach.
With Zach, communication's constant. Again, we're not wavering. We believe in the young man. And the biggest thing for Zach it's not his talent. We want to make sure that we reconnect with Zach and regain his confidence and regain his confidence in himself and us and him, just all of us, just to make sure that he is back on track, get his footwork down right, get his mechanics right, get his mind right. And so it's not a talent thing for Zach. I don't believe that. I just think, like I said, when I said reset, we're going to work our tails off to help him, and we're committed to that.
So what is it?
What is it?
If it's not talent and it's not confidence, then what the heck is it?
But Don, footwork and mindset is talent too. Footwork is talent.
But how do you work that out? On the sideline, or do you go out there and you play games? Listen, nobody wants to play a meaningless game in week 18. But it's a gift for Zach to go out there and play against a lousy defense and maybe make something happen. Go back to Eli Manning. Then that miserable first rookie season of his. Everybody points to the last game, meaningless game for the Cowboys and the Giants at Giants Stadium, and he led a game-winning drive in which he changed the play at the line of scrimmage, gave it the Tiki Barber, game-winning touchdown. Everybody said that was the day the light went on for Eli. why are you robbing Zach a moment to maybe have that happen against Miami? Probably won't happen, but what more do you have to see from Mike White?
Well, here's what he said today too about go. Here's what he wants Zach to do. You ready for this?
I'm ready.
Go read a book. Go do something. Get away from the game. Just reset. I think the greatest gift you can give yourself as a human is to figure out what's important to you. What do you value and how can you stick to those values day in and day out? This is the greatest gift you can give yourself is to discover yourself. I think Zach needs to get away, read a book, and figure that out. Are you kidding me?
Well, no, hold on real quick.
What's important to you?
If I'm reading what you're saying correctly, this cannot be the guy you're saying is the future of this team.
He needs to read a book and discover himself?
He needs to figure out what's important to him? So real quick, I'm not the brightest or the sharpest or any of those
all
things.
All true.
So is the lie here because they want to hold some value for him to move him?
He has no value.
So, right, they can't convince us
right.
of that. So what's the end game here? Because it can't be. He cannot actually believe that this kid is the future and that, A, he's not playing him this week, B, at certain points they had him not even wearing a uniform, and C, he says he needs to go read a book and reevaluate his life?
Well, that's weird.
That is weird, man.
That is weird,
there
man.
Is something super inconsistent
no,
going on here.
There's a lot of inconsistency. And, Michael, if there is a rift in the organization of whether he's good or not, then why not let him go out? If you're Robert Saleh and you think he stinks and doesn't want him to play, have him play Week 18 and embarrass himself again and just further forward the narrative that this isn't our guy.
Yeah, but see, that's a good point, Don, but it's also a little bit of a conundrum. Robert Saleh has his fingerprints all over this draft pick. So if you do show that this guy is a terrible player and you have to move on, well, then Woody could say, let's move on from you. You're the one who selected him. You're the one who wanted to take him with the second pick. You and Joe Douglas. So Woody has a little bit of a kick coming, too, if Woody is, in fact, on the Zach Wilson side. He has a kick coming. You use the second pick in the draft to pick this guy, and he's nothing. You don't even have enough confidence in his mindset to play the final game of the season, which means nothing. It's mind-boggling to me that they will not play him on Sunday against the Dolphins. Is he that bad? And Mike White, by the way, was less than pedestrian in a must-win game last Sunday. So Mike White is not Mike effing White. This Sunday, he was effing Mike White.
But that's a lot to take in there. But Mike White... Again, I'm not going to sit here and denigrate Mike White. Maybe there is something there, although I don't really see it. But and you have to give him money at the end of the year, and maybe one game isn't going to convince you one way or the other. But the investment is Zach Wilson. He is the second overall pick. Reputations are on the line here. If you want to give up on him, that's great. But then you give up on him. But you don't sit there and tell us about there's still talent there, where there's still a future here. Well, if there is, then explain to me like I'm a five-year-old why he's not playing Week 18. It makes zero sense that you're throwing away an opportunity for him to be able to play in a game that means something for the Miami Dolphins. For good or bad, Michael, you got to make a decision, right? So if he's awful, okay, we just further the narrative that he's done. If he ends up finding something and plays well, hey, maybe if nothing else, you'll convince some other team to give you a second-round pick for him. I don't know. But him sitting there reading a book in the corner, how is that helping anyone, and how is it helping the Jets?
He needs to read a book.
It's rare for, according to the ESPN story,
it's a playbook, Peter.
It's rare for a team to move on from a highly drafted quarterback after only two seasons. Since 1998, only two top 10 quarterbacks lasted less than 3 years with the team that drafted them. Ryan Leaf, number two pick in 1998, and Josh Rosen, the number 10 pick of the Cardinals in 2018. So, I mean, Wilson has looked terrible this year. But, I mean, when you hear this stuff, and this is solace. Zach has all the talent in the world. We have
all the
confidence in the world in
him.
All
the confidence.
It's just, like I said, a reset. We're going to grind with him. We are. Through hell or high water, we're going to figure out how to get him to where we know he can be.
What?
So, they're not giving up on him. Why is he not playing this Sunday?
No. And also, at what point do you sound so insane, Michael, that you have to give us more information? Do you know what I mean? Like, I know it's football, and coaches are required to say absolutely nothing all the time, but when you're saying a message that is this mixed up, don't you think we need some explanation of what they mean? Does he have a mental health issue? Does he need therapy? And he also made clear it's not a fragility issue, though. So it's not that he's fragile. Right. Is he depressed?
Well, they said it's not a talent issue.
Fragility.
I'm sorry.
That wouldn't be a reason to not play.
Right.
If he's not fragile, it's all very.
Yeah, but you know what? Even if he's fragile, you can't say that. I mean, then you've completely emasculated your quarterback. I think he's fragile, that he can't get on the field on Sunday. And also, the thing that really, you picked up on it right away, the word that jumped out at me, he has to reevaluate his, you know, priorities, something like what Steve Young has told us, when you're an NFL quarterback, it's like studying to be a doctor. It's a 24-hour thing to be that. Tom Brady lost his marriage over being a quarterback. It has to be everything to you. Priority. That's the only priority. You want to be great.
But he's a kid. What else is he doing?
So it's probably, guys, when you really break it down, it's as simple as this. They're done. He's an awful quarterback. He doesn't do the work. They made a huge mistake. But it doesn't benefit anybody telling you that, because they're going to try to sell some organization on how they're going to trade for him. So they're building him up, but we're being lied to, because he's not playing. Actions speak louder than words, guys. The actions tell you go out there and play. Them not playing him tells you that there's just zero belief. They're done. Now, there might be one person in the organization that feels differently, and maybe that's Woody Johnson, and he has the final say because he's the owner of the team. But tell me where there's anybody, players, coaches, that really believe in this guy when they won't play him in the final game of the season that means nothing for the Jets.
It's mind-boggling. That's the only thing I could say. It's absolutely mind-boggling that he is not playing and not even dressing. He's not even dressing. He's a healthy scratch. Joe Flacco is the backup quarterback. In a game that means nothing. He can't play a game that means nothing. He has to reset.
So, and what is he going to do in the offseason, guys? And he's going to have to play at some point. He's going to have to show you something in the preseason, whatever. I mean, he's still someone that technically is still on this team. And for better or worse, you go out there and you play. That's what you do.
All right, let's take a brief time out. I want to hear from you. We've heard what Saleh had to say. It didn't make sense yesterday, and today he doubled down and saying that hell or high water, they're going to maximize this guy's potential, but not play him this Sunday. But maybe he'll be – and also, it puts a fly in the ointment of bringing in a veteran quarterback. What veteran quarterback is going to come in and battle Zach Wilson? What if Zach Wilson has a great preseason? The veteran quarterback doesn't play? Are you going to go out and get Derek Carr and not play him? So the whole thing doesn't make sense. Either you're in or out. Are you in on Zach Wilson or are you out? Because if you're in, you bring him back next year and make him the starting quarterback. But I think you're kind of half pregnant with him. You don't know what to do. Mm. Phone calls next. Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN. So Mike White is not Mike effing White. This Sunday, he was effing Mike White.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Zach can't play. The quarterback of the franchise ain't on the roster. Let it go. Then say it.
Well, they didn't say it.
They didn't say it. If they said it, I don't think he can't play. I think he's not as great as people thought he was going to be. He's certainly not great right away. But
the story he told yesterday, if you didn't hear it, over the course of the conversation, was one that included not only the things that he just said about, oh, you know, he's still our guy, blah, 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 but he also talked about, you know, some quarterbacks take 3 or 4 years. You know, not everyone comes. He really did make it seem like this is a project. We know we're going to develop him. We know he's going to get there. Like, if they're faking it, they're doing it with such, they're so passionately. What I just don't understand the
doing.
End game. Well, but why?
We're not stupid, guys. We know what the it's over. We interview these individuals, and I've got no reason to believe Robert Saleh is a liar. As a matter of fact, I think if you listen to him over the last couple of years, he tells a lot of truths, more than most coaches do. He reveals some information, and he's right a lot of the time about things. But this doesn't make any sense. So I'm just trying to hold somebody accountable for the words that they say. He doesn't have a confidence problem. He's got talent. We believe in him. He's not going anywhere. Well, then why isn't he playing Week 18? We're not silly. We're just trying to figure out what their end game is in this whole thing. And, boy, it really looks like we're being straight out lied to, because he can't have all this confidence. He can't have all this talent. He can't have put in all the work and yet not be able to play a meaningless game in Week 18.
We're in the middle of the Gangrene Report, brought to you by 2 by London, the engagement shop at London Jewelers. I mean, there's so many ramifications to this as well, and we touched on this at the end of the last segment, that you can't bring in an established quarterback. Now, you could bring in Tyrod Taylor, somebody like that, where, you know, they're used to being a backup. You could bring in Teddy Bridgewater, but if you really want to make that next step and make your team a championship contender, you're going to try to bring in Aaron Rodgers, maybe. I don't think he's going anywhere. You could try to bring in Derek Carr. These are quarterbacks that are going to come in, get paid a lot of money, and they're going to start. The Jets, if they have Zach Wilson on the roster next year, he's got to be the starting quarterback. I don't know if you could do that. You're turning away 60 minutes, Don, of an opportunity to get more eyeballs on him because he's got to reset. I've never heard such nonsense in my life.
Well, listen, Robert Saleh is a defensive guy, right? And he doesn't have very much to do with the offense. It's LaFleur. It's his team, but LaFleur runs the offense. Is it just as simple as Saleh's a player's coach, and these players don't want to play for Zach, and under no circumstances does he want to have to play him over Mike White? Now, whether that's a monster he created by not stomping it out early, but maybe in order to be able to keep his team in line. Is it that bad? Is he just flat out not doing the work? Because that's what I read about. Read a book. Maybe read the playbook. Maybe put the work in. You heard all of the statements by the players about how much work Mike White puts in. He puts in the time. Even Woody Johnson said it. Aren't those veiled shots at Zach? So does it come just down to, hey, I'm trying to coach a football team, and my football team doesn't want to play for this guy, so he's not playing. Can't say that, but is that the simple truth?
Well, let's say that's the truth, Don, and you might not be far off. Then he's not doing his job as a coach. You make sure these players play for him. Nonsense. They're not running the team. And Mike White is not Tom Brady. You can't sell your soul for Mike White. You just can't. So as a coach, he has to sit down with his players and go, this is the quarterback. You guys have to buy in. And you can't tell me because this young, naive kid didn't take the blame after the Patriot game that he lost the entire locker room. Then there's a problem with the locker room.
It wasn't enough. It wasn't enough to lose the entire locker room.
I mean, come on. He said something stupid. He didn't say something egregious.
And he should have stomped it out way before it became a problem. But then it becomes a problem, and you want your players to play for you, and he's a defensive guy, and it's a good defense. But that's not a head coach, all right? A head coach is not supposed to have all his players love him. They just have to respect him. But not love them. You don't do everything the players ask. Sometimes, hey, listen, you're going to have to live with this. This is our quarterback. This is the future. We invested a second-round pick. Sorry, but he's more important than a lot of other players because of what we invested in him. So we're going to see this through. You've got to have the courage as a coach to do that. You can't be worried about losing the room.
And for all of those people, you can move closer to the speaker on this. Let's say that Zach Wilson can't play. He's a bad quarterback. Let you know a little secret. If the Giants got a hold of him, I think Brian Daboll would turn him into a great quarterback. The guy has skills. He's got an arm. He can run. You can't tell me that he can't play quarterback. He didn't lose the ability to play quarterback. Right. Maybe he's not being coached up the right way. Listen, Brian Daboll took Josh Allen, who was a bust in his first year, and turned him into one of the top three quarterbacks in the NFL. Brian Daboll took Daniel Jones, who the Giants wouldn't even take his fifth-year option and pick it up, which is going to cost them a lot of money, and turned him into a much more than serviceable quarterback this year. You put him into the hands of a guy like Brian Daboll, the guy will be the quarterback he's supposed to be. So you can't give up on a guy. You got to find the proper tools to make him into what he's supposed to be.
But think about what you just said, though, Michael. If this staff and this coaching staff and this offense hasn't been able to figure it out in the 2 years that they've had him, then you're going to have to make some changes if you're going to bring Zach back. What, all of a sudden they're going to find religion and do the right thing? Like, so if you do bring him back and are committed to him, do you have the right coaches to get the best out of him? Or are you just running, chasing your tail again? Why is it going to be any different than it was this year? If LaFleur's not the guy, if I'm Robert Saleh and I want to keep my job and I'm being forced to play Zach Wilson, I got to go find myself a new OC. I can't have the same guy try to correct the problems he couldn't correct in years one or two.
All right, let's see what you think. In 1-800-919-3776, we start off with Jim in Queens. Jim.
Hey, what's up, everybody?
All good on this end.
Very good. Happy New Year to each and every one of you and your families.
You too.
So this is thank you. This is my opinion on the Zach Wilson thing. Well, Don, you were straight up lied to yesterday by Robert Saleh. Let's get that. Like, that you were lied to. So to answer your question,
yeah.
With Zach Wilson, I believe this kid is broken right now mentally. I think he's like the kid on the baseball field that he's out there terrified and saying to himself mentally, please don't hit it to me, because I can't make the throw to the base. I think when this kid gets into the huddle and they call a pass play, I think he's like, oh, my God, I got to throw the ball. Now I got to look at the rush. I got to read the defense. He can't do any of it. So, and I can't believe I'm making this phone call and saying this about a quarterback in the NFL. But this is where I think he's at. He is so shot mentally that he can't throw the football accurately.
Well, then, but Jim... But what you're saying is, without saying the word, he's fragile. And then when I brought that up to Saleh,
No, absolutely not.
He's tough as nails. If he's not playing Sunday, he's soft and he's not tough as nails. Because if you could break that easily.
No. Or he stinks. Or you don't think he's good enough to play.
I don't think he stinks.
No, but they think he stinks.
Well, then that's on them. They picked him.
But it's got to be one or the other, right? Otherwise, I don't understand why he couldn't play. He either cannot play the game, you do not trust him to get through one game, and you don't think the team can be in his hands, or he's mentally kind of broken. It's got to be one or the other, right? I don't understand. Otherwise, what's the harm in
him
playing?
He's mentally broken. And to me, that sends a message that he's extremely fragile.
But by the way, people can... Well,
not in 2 years.
But can people bounce back?
Yeah.
From being fragile?
Yeah, maybe. Hey, I never thought much of Sam Darnold. And the last couple of games for Carolina, I thought he played very well.
Well, no, Sam is
He made unbelievable passes.
He's trending the right direction.
Yeah.
And that's much later than anyone thought
it
would happen.
I mean, if you're a Jet fan, think about this. Think about where they are. If you're a Jet fan and you had the option next year of starting the season with Sam Darnold, same guy that you let go.
Yep.
As a quarterback or Zach Wilson, 99% of Jet fans would say, give me Sam Darnold. That's how much far ahead he is than Zach Wilson.
Well, you know what everybody says, too. It's like you can teach skills, but attitude and the way that you command a locker room can't really be taught. Darnold was a really likable kid. He just couldn't get it together on the field. He had horrible coaching.
But if you remember, when the story came out that he was supposedly having relations with his mom's best friend.
You mean Zach's?
Yeah, Zach, right? Everybody in that locker room loved him. Oh, they loved him. They couldn't get enough. He lost all that goodwill in 16 weeks. He's now a pariah. Because he didn't say that he took all the blame for the New England loss? Was it, by the way, he played horrible in that New England game. Did he give up that kickoff return? Was it him?
No.
But
I mean, did anybody from the special teams come up and say, you know what, this is on me? All of a sudden you have to take total blame?
It had to be the last straw. So what was probably building up in my mind, the one thing that will make you a bad teammate, the one thing that drives people crazy is if you're not putting in the work. That would be my guess. I have no information on that, but I would think reading the tea leaves, especially his comment about read a book, get away from the game. This is a kid that's been spoiled, never faced any adversity, and is not putting in the work necessary to get better.
Can you imagine? And that leads you to another thing. And we've brought this up, and it's a sticky topic. We brought it up with Steve Young, who grew up and was born in Greenwich, Connecticut. All right, so he was a kid of means. I'm not saying that his dad was Steve Cohen, but, you know, he was a lawyer. He had money. When you draft a kid with means, that they never really had a scrap for anything, you're taking a chance. It's got to be something that's hardwired into their brain because they're not trying to escape a bad situation. Zach Wilson's family has a lot of money. I mean, I think his uncle owns JetBlue. So, I mean, that's when you really have to do your homework if you're an organization. How much does this guy want it? He's not escaping poverty. Yeah,
but I'm not saying spoiled in the sense of, well, I'm rich, so it doesn't matter if I don't make it in the NFL. I'll just go home and spend my mom's, my parents' money. I'm talking spoiled in the sense that what adversity has he ever faced? When has he had to go the extra mile to get where he needs to go?
But he did have adversity at BYU. He lost his starter's job and got it back. He did get it back.
Mm-hmm. Now, another thing. He was never captain.
That should have been a red flag that he wasn't captain. Everybody tried to explain it away.
But he did get the job back. But obviously in the NFL, Michael, he was never challenged for his job until Mike White came along. And even then, you know, it was basically just because of just falling apart. But in that first year, they never got a veteran to test him. He was handed the job immediately when most people felt that he wasn't ready for the NFL and needed to sit and watch. But maybe sometimes we saw this with Mark Sanchez. I remember Mark Sanchez saying, I thought I was given 100%, but I look back and no, I guess I wasn't. Like, so it's not about money. It's just it's about just are you willing to give everything to be the best quarterback that you could be? And if 99% isn't 100, and maybe they sense that in that room.
Well, Jason Klein on Twitter, this is what he wrote. It's a well-thought-out tweet. He said, playing Zach on Sunday doesn't really benefit anyone. He's not changing minds with a good performance, and he could potentially do more damage to his psyche with a bad one. If he's salvageable, Zach needs a true reset this offseason and help from an experienced quarterback coach. And Jason, if he's that broken, then he's a fragile guy who's never going to make it in this league. You would think that he would move heaven and earth to get the starting nod this week. That he would beg Saleh, let me play. Yeah. I can do this. Let me have one more chance to show. He's not doing it. So that does lead you to other problems then. He's not that guy. Don, you grew up loving this guy. Phil Sims, would he take not being benched in the last game of the year? Or would he beg to play?
Beg to play.
Would he demand to play?
He won't wear that second Super Bowl ring because
he didn't play in the Super Bowl.
He didn't play in the game. I mean, he was that committed to the team that, you know, it ate him up inside that he wasn't able to play. You know, because that's all he ever wanted to do, to just get on the field and play to the best of his ability. And I'm just looking at, you know, and that's going to insult players in that room who are all giving their all, and they feel the organization bend over backwards for a guy, continuing to give him the benefit of the doubt. Is he putting the work in? But I would just play him. I think the only way you work through any confidence issue, guys, or get better is to go out there and get the reps and play. You know, related to any job that you do, us in radio or play-by-play or anything that any listeners out there doing, when you screw up at work, if you've got the work ethic, you can't wait to go back the next day to get better and to correct it. You don't want to sit there and watch somebody else do it. You want to go out there and do it. That's how you gain your confidence back. You get the reps. You do it. And it's an opportunity to go out there and play. You're right. There should be scratch marks on Saleh's door from Zach begging to play in that game for any chance to try to redeem himself. And maybe it wouldn't mean anything. I don't think he's going to be able to change hearts and minds. But one good game can be all it takes to boost his confidence level and make him believe that he can do it.
Well, that's the Gangrene Report brought to you by 2 by London, the engagement shop by London Jewelers. Pick or design the perfect engagement ring to fit every budget at any of their 7 area locations. We'll come back, take your phone calls right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
You can catch the Unplugged segments on the ESPN New York app. Now just download the free ESPN New York app, scroll down to the Unplugged tile, and enjoy episodes 1 and 2 live right now. It's brought to you by Jackpocket. Play official state lottery games like Powerball and Mega Millions on your phone. Download the Jackpocket app and get your first Mega Million or Powerball ticket free using code ESPN. Must be 18 or older to play. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, wants help, call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY. And Peter, you saw some of it. It's really good, right?
What's that now?
You saw some of the Unplugged stuff. Unbelievable. He's not listening to me when I'm talking.
And he's right next to me.
You're coming out of break. I still was hearing you do a read. I was still doing
it's
some
baseball,
reads.
So Peter's drifted off.
What, Nirvana unplugged? What unplugged are we talking about?
Forget it. So, Don, I'm thinking about going big into the Jackpocket app and playing Mega Millions and Powerball because I gassed up my car today.
Yeah.
And I filled it up and it stopped at $55.55, and I thought that was an omen.
So that's interesting.
Yeah, that's. Or is it? Whenever we would see something like that, or if the time was 4:44 and you saw it,
mm-hmm.
like you make a wish. So make a wish that you want to win the mega. Because the power I had a
the mega power, that's right, the mega
power. No,
powers.
Mega Millions is $940 million.
Yeah. You could
Powerball's $291 million.
Holy See, crap. I wouldn't even bother with the Powerball.
No, you don't need that.
I
you
mean,
that's
not 291's not changing my life, but a billion no. is changing my life.
That's Come something.
On, you're telling me $291 million wouldn't change your
291. If you take it all in one lump sum, you're getting about $100 grand, $100 million.
$150 million,
maybe. No, so definitely not 150.
It's not half?
No. You're telling me $100 million
after taxes?
$100 million wouldn't change your life?
What would I have that I don't have? That I don't have?
Well, I'm sure you would walk right away from the show, not even give a notice.
See ya!
So that would be life-changing.
See you, everybody. Have a good night. After some of the things that happened today, I don't need to win the lottery to do that. Wow. Bye, buddy. Have a great life.
I'm still reeling from the news of my team. Let me say something. You want to find a bad football team? Find a team that can't figure out their quarterback situation. Not injury, right? We're not talking about San Francisco, where Kyle Shanahan's able to plug in new quarterbacks because quarterbacks get hurt. We're talking about teams who cannot figure out who their starters should be. How long do coaches last when they cannot figure out who should be starting?
Are you talking about the communists?
The commies.
Oh,
it's not short for commies. But and I'm talking about the Jets also, though. It's the same thing.
Yeah, those are teams that usually don't win. Let's go to Brian in Martinsville. Brian.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. You?
I'm doing good. You know, I'm a little depressed as a Jets fan. You know, I think I called you guys like 4 weeks ago. I was riding high on the Mike White train and called your guys' takes hot garbage. Didn't age well. But here's where I agree with you. I don't think Mike White or Joe Flacco will be on the team next year. I don't think there's a trade market for Zach, so I don't understand why. If this ends up being a Joe Flacco, Mike Glennon vehicle on Sunday, I'm going to rip my TV off the wall. So I don't get what they're doing. You know what? I would like to see Zach. I think Mike White. You're not going to re-sign Mike White to be a third quarterback, and you're not going to have him be the second and hold Zach's cap for the third. And then last point, and I'll stop talking, is I think the Jets are in a worse spot now than ever before the season started. I think all the goodwill Saleh and Joe Douglas have built up is gone. As a season ticket holder, I'm disgusted. I feel like we're in purgatory. So they're going to make a playoff mandate for next year, and then we're going to start this all again.
Brian, you know what? I can't say you're wrong. I think they're in worse shape because – They will finish at the worst 7 wins. So they're going to have a draft pick in the middle. Now, I actually texted it to the guys during the game. Kenny Pickett is twice the quarterback that Zach Wilson is.
Right now.
And that was the first quarterback taken in the draft last year in the second half of the draft.
Mm-hmm.
Kenny Pickett, I mean, small hands, yeah. The whole deal. And you saw how he played on Sunday night. He stepped up and was a big-time guy.
And who drafted him?
Yeah.
An organization that knows how to win.
But my point is the Jets couldn't get the quarterback situation right with the second pick of the draft. Now they might have the 15th, 16th, or 17th pick in the draft. How are they getting better?
So would you agree that if there is somebody in this organization that wants it to work with Zach Wilson, it's probably Woody Johnson, right?
I don't know.
Or Joe Douglas.
Right.
Like, I don't think Robert Saleh is a Zach Wilson guy. I don't think LaFleur is a Zach Wilson guy. Because if they were, they'd be working with him to try to make him better.
Well, how do you know they're not? Maybe they just can't make him better.
Well, either way, they can't make him better. But if you're committed to bringing Zach Wilson back, if somebody in that organization, Joe Douglas, whose reputation is on this second pick, then how do you bring your coaching staff back?
Didn't work. But if you believe in his talent, then what you're saying is the coaching couldn't bring the best out of him. Do you think Zach Wilson would be this bad if he was drafted by the Steelers?
No.
Or drafted by the 49ers?
No.
You know, so
Or the Giants.
Or the Giants, because like you saw that what coaching can do with Daniel Jones. Now, he started to figure it out. I don't want to take credit away from the kid, but certainly the plays and the coaching and the cultivation helped him in this year to finally get the best out of him. So if you're committed to Wilson the way Robert Saleh is, and let's say Robert Saleh is, well, then you can't bring LaFleur back because they're not the guys to get to bring the best out of them. They've had 2 years to do it, Michael, and it's gotten worse.
Here's something I was thinking of, too. And you were around the organization for a long time doing the pre and post.
Mm.
Can you imagine how red-hot chapped Woody Johnson is? The Giants were in a rebuilding year. They were supposed to be one of the worst teams in football. They're in the same building, and they made the playoffs, and your team might end the season with six straight losses and not make the playoffs.
Yeah.
Woody is going to be hunting during this offseason. I mean, this guy, I think Woody Johnson's 76 years old.
He's not buying
green bananas.
Green bananas.
There was much love between the organizations. There might have been a friendly rivalry because they shared the same landscape in New York sports. But from what I understand, they didn't get along during the building of this stadium. And I don't think they care much for each other. And I think they want to be better than the other. And it's probably driving Woody up a wall that they both had young quarterbacks. And they both had, you know, new coaches. And the Giants figured it out faster than the Jets did. Because they were both embarrassments for the last 5 years. So it was basically a turtle race to figure out who was going to be better. And now the Giants might have figured it out, and the Jets, what are you going to start again? New coach, new quarterback?
And that's why I always say, Don, when you blow a pick, the second pick in the draft on a quarterback, you set yourself back 5 years.
Michael, how many? We've been doing this 20 years, which is a long time for anybody, right?
Mm.
But really, in the history of an organization, isn't that long. Even for the Jets that started in 1960, it's not. It's still less than half of their existence. And we've been on the air for these 20 years, Michael. How many quarterbacks? Went from Pennington to Sanchez, Sanchez to Darnold, Darnold now to Wilson. Doesn't work. How many different coaches? How many different general managers? So everybody that calls, get rid of Saleh, get rid of Douglas, get rid of Wilson, you get to start over again? And what leads you to believe they'll get it right this time? And, oh, by the way, it's not like the last time when they got loose Darnold where they had the second overall pick waiting in their lap.
Right. So
you
right now –
drafted in the middle of the first round.
According to Tankathon, the Jets have the 13th pick coming into the final weekend. They're not getting a franchise quarterback at that. Now you can say, well, I mean, there have been great quarterbacks taken late in the draft. Not by the Jets.
Yeah.
Not by the Jets.
Takes a little luck, and when have the Jets ever been lucky? And you take a look at the list of free agents, Michael, and you know, maybe do they get Tom Brady? Do they do that? But then I'd ask the question, why would Tom Brady want to come here? Now they got weapons and they got a good defense, but you know, with the dysfunction and the history of this franchise, is that where Tom wants to take the chance that he's going to be able to lift this organization out? Or will he go someplace else?
I don't think Tom or Aaron are coming here.
Let's take a brief time out, talk about the other football team in town as well, and the latest on DeMar Hamlin. Things look like they're looking up just a little bit. You know, I don't want to say things look great, but they're looking better than they looked a day ago.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.